They say that hindsight is 20/20. If only we could see the consequences of our choices before we make them. But we can't. Neither could Satan, who made the biggest miscalculation of all time. Luring Eve with a bite of fruit has led to horrific results down through the annals of history. Today, a look at what happened after the fall of man. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues the story of the fall of man after Satan's temptation, a catastrophe whose ultimate consequences could never have been foreseen.
There is no such thing as sin ever being profitable or helpful to somebody. There of necessity needs to be negative consequences. But they couldn't foresee that. I heard a story about a company that was responsible for building. And you know that when you're in the building trade, one of the things you do is always get bids. So you ask somebody to bid on a particular project, and if their bid comes in lower than the other person's, and these bids have to be secret, you generally choose the one who is lower, all other things being equal. Well, there was this huge company, and there was a contractor who was making bids, and he walked into the office of the boss, and nobody was around. He looked on the desk, and he noticed that the bid of his competitor was lying open on the boss's desk. All that he would need to do is to see what his competitor bid, then change his bid to come in a little lower, and he'd have this fantastic opportunity for work, which involved a lot of money. But there was only one little problem, and that is that right on the figure on the application, there was a can of pop right there. The man didn't know what he should do. He paced the floor. Nobody seemed to be around. He thought to himself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just look very quickly under that can of pop and then put it down, and I'll see what my competitor bid. So what he did was he took the can of pop, lifted it like this with the intention of putting it down, and hundreds of BBs spilled out onto the desk and rolled onto the floor. I wonder how he explained that. But you see, it is in the very same way that Satan has set up a trap. He has set up traps, and people do not understand the consequences. Adam and Eve had a whole series of dominoes. They didn't know that those dominoes were set up. It was like dominoes in the night. And they sinned. Now, what were the consequences of the fall? First of all, man became independent. He became independent. It is not that he became attached to Satan in such a way that Satan always controlled him, though Satan desired that. But in taking his stand against God and joining the devil in rebellion, man could now do his own thing. It says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. But notice this, we have turned everyone to his own way. Everybody's doing his own thing. And just like sheep are sometimes deceived because they take false paths, in the very same way human beings take false paths, they think that this is going to bring happiness, this is going to bring fulfillment, this will produce what I'm really after, and they take all of these paths and they do their own things, and eventually they discover that all of these paths end up in destruction and ruin. They're lost. Human beings without God are lost. They are not only lost, they're confused because they think that they might be on the right path. Because for some people, there is some happiness in the world. There is some satisfaction in getting ahead. There is some satisfaction in pleasure. And they think to themselves, surely I'm doing my own thing and it is profitable. And so they're deceived. That's one of the consequences of the fall. Man becomes independent, but he pays dearly for that independence, which of necessity must end eventually in ruin. Not only is man independent, but he is isolated. He's isolated. He's isolated from God. The scripture says, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Was God's word true or was it not? Well, Adam woke up the next morning, and he could see the sunrise. Had he died? He didn't die physically, though the process began at that time. But he died spiritually. He was cut off from God. It was like taking a light bulb and pulling the switch. Suddenly, the light in man had gone out. No longer was the Lord walking with them in the cool of the day. No longer was there fellowship with God. Now man was on his own in moral and spiritual darkness, and he had to do the very best that he could. So he was isolated from God. He was isolated from others. Immediately you have shame and guilt and greed and anger and all of these things that the human heart is so full of. All of them began to take place at this moment. You know, of course, that Adam and Eve had a number of children. The two most famous that we know about are Cain and Abel. And if you were to read the fourth chapter of Genesis, you know that Abel was a righteous man, and Cain was envious of the fact that God loved Abel, and Cain killed Abel. And so ever since that time, other families as well have been raising Cain. And what you find is this kind of hatred and animosity within family structures and within the world. So that people in business are cut off from one another. Some of you are in businesses where you cannot trust competitors. You cannot trust those with whom you work because you know that in their moments they will be undercutting you. All of the iniquity of the human heart. Satan always destroys. Sin can never unify. It can only break apart. It can only build walls. And then man is even separated from himself. That's why you have 25,000 people a year committing suicide in the United States. It's because you have all these people who cannot even stand to live with themselves. They cannot stand to live with a sense of guilt, the failure, the sense of frustration, the hurt of rejection. It becomes too much for them. And so they take their lives. All that because of sin. So you have such things as man becoming independent with serious consequences. He becomes isolated and he becomes very, very insecure. Very insecure, and I'll tell you why. You see, because we're created in the image of God, every single one of us needs to have a good sense of self-worth. We really do. We need a sense of dignity, a feeling that we have value in the universe. That is built into us because God put eternity in our hearts. He gave us a sense of value because we are created in His image. And we desperately need that in order to function. But you see, without God, where can man get this sense of value and self-worth? Where can it come from? The only place it can come from is, number one, the opinion of other people. So that if others think that you're great, it gives you a sense of value, a feeling of worthwhileness. You get your strokes. And that's why you have so many people who attain status and want power. It's because what others think of them becomes very, very important. That's their only sense of dignity, is the opinion of other people. The only other place where they can get that kind of satisfaction is in what they do. But you see, the problem is that God has put eternity in our hearts, we read in the Bible, and we're frustrated in every turn. We're frustrated because, first of all, there are so many people who may speak well of us for a time and then turn against us. That's part of the reason. So you see, our self-worth is constantly fluctuating in accordance with the opinions of others, which fluctuate. And if you were brought up in a home where you were told that you were no good or that you were dumb or that you wouldn't relate or you wouldn't be able to achieve anything, can you imagine how destructive this is upon you? Because your first opinion of who you are is determined essentially by what your parents say of you. And that's why there are some of you who have struggles, deep struggles. It's because that's what happens when sin entered into the universe. The opinion that we have of ourselves is largely determined, at least early in life, by what others think and say about us. But even if we were raised in good homes, even if we have a strong self-image, even if we have been affirmed, there is another problem. Eventually, death will come and ruin all of our sense of significance and self-worth. Suddenly comes and it's all gone, and we say to ourselves, what was the purpose of life anyway? Pierre Burton, an atheist in Canada who is known both for his fame as well as for his wealth because of the television program that he used to have, came down from a studio and was standing in the lobby of a hotel in Toronto, Canada, and said to one of his friends, "I'm becoming an old man, and this is all there is. This is all there is. I've got it all, wealth, fame, but this is it." I want to tell you something today, that a life without God is nothing but confusion and emptiness, and I want you to understand that it is necessary that it be so. Do you know that it is as difficult to make sense out of life if you're not a Christian, if you're a not believer? It is as difficult to make sense out of it all as children who are in a nursery trying to spell the word God with blocks, but they've got the wrong ones. They've got the ones with the wrong letters. That's how frustrating. That's how impossible it is to find meaning without God. It cannot be done. It cannot be done logically. It cannot be done existentially. So man fell. He became independent. He became isolated. He became insecure. And all that you need to do is to read today's headlines to know the disastrous consequences of sin. But I've entitled this series, "What is God up to?" So what is God up to? Why the fall? Why all this heartache? Why all this setup in the Garden of Eden, if you please? Why one tree where man could disobey? Why was Satan allowed into the garden and not confined to another planet, so that Adam and Eve would be left to make up their own minds about whether they wanted to sin without outside interference? Why? What is God up to? I want to remind you that one of the purposes that God has in mind is to display His attributes. I hope that you don't take offense at the fact that God wants to glorify Himself, and He is worthy and has the right because He's God, and we are creatures whom He created. What does it say in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 11? "For His pleasure we are, and we were created." I hope that that doesn't offend you. You can become angry with that and say, "Well, if that's the kind of God He is, then I don't want to have anything to do with Him." You can do that and lose, or you can submit to His authority and win. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I need to tell you that the older I get, the more I have to confess that there is great mystery to God. As a matter of fact, God is really more mysterious than I think I used to believe Him to be. But isn't it wonderful that we have the Scriptures where we can probe behind what we ourselves know intuitively to try to understand God's purposes? And in messages that are still to come in this series, I'll be explaining how the cross of Jesus Christ and redemption does indeed display God's glory and God's attributes. The bottom line is simply this: it's not about us. Oh, we are a part of the picture, and we can rejoice in the fact that God loves us. But at the end of the day, it is all about God, of Him, through Him, and to Him. He is the object of all things. Let's worship Him acceptably.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Tomorrow, Erwin Lutzer concludes this message on the fall of man, and in so doing, he'll bring us from darkness to light. Don't miss the Thursday edition of Running to Win. We believe this 8-part series will help you understand God's overall plan for the human race. "What is God up to?" can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. For the amazing story of the way back from the fall, join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.